This is Sam from the Mask and Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The following program contains sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
So we got a wonderful update for you today on Lantern Rescue and all sorts of cool things going on. So we got Mark and Kajon with us. So Mark, share with us a little bit about what's going on around the world.
Well, it's great to be on the show, as always. I think I'm able to get on about every 2 months, and I'm so appreciative of Truth, so appreciative of all of our listeners, everybody who downloads the podcast. It's such a blessing to know there are people who care about the exploited, the persecuted, and the displaced. And they care about what we're trying to do, and they've come alongside of us. So Truth Network, all of our networks, AFA, AFR, thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. So obviously the world right now is got a lot of critical moments happening. I know that we look around and we just see a lot of problems. And so with all those problems in the world, you know, Lantern tries to respond prayerfully where to be and what to do and how to act. I would just be completely transparent to all of our family out there. We are overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed with the request to help with human trafficking, the request to help with persecuted, and the request to help with displaced people. And we're doing our best, but it really is coming to a place where we just got to be on our knees, because we don't have time to respond and it not be effective. And we also don't have the money to do that. You know, we're a very small ship, and so we're very tight. So we want to respond, and we want to be impactful. We want to move the needle. So I would just say right now, in excitement of that, we have responded really strongly in places in Africa, and we're seeing so many kids rescued and their lives changed. We're trying to build out almost an 8-country build out right now. We're in a kind of a plan C stage with that, and working through that, but being well accepted at the government levels, and then finding the right people, because that's who makes it happen, and they're doing a great job. If I come over into crisis and conflict, man, you know, we're so blessed with the team in Ukraine and Eastern Europe and all that they're doing. And that has now translated over to, we're in talks with the attorney generals to start a strong counter human trafficking effort in Eastern Europe, in hands with a lot of agencies and wonderful people from America and wonderful people from those countries and surrounding countries. And that's in the early stages, but we were at the table at the right place because we're there helping with crisis and conflict, and that's a good thing. Then we really have a great opportunity, and this isn't a full synopsis of everything, folks, but I'm just going to say this. There is an incredible opportunity right now that has been embraced by the state government, particularly in the state of North Carolina, a pilot program that's in hands with multiple awesome sheriffs. County commissioners have got behind it. Money has been given by the state level, resources, people, supplemented with some of our efforts, people, and our digital resources. And so it is really an incredible program that is not just going to be reactive in the law enforcement arena to human trafficking and CSAM, but it's going to be proactive. And so I really think this is a solution of a task force that will make a difference in America domestically. We've been working on this for, probably 4 years, you know, behind one individual in our staff, and he has done a tremendous job to build this program out. Pray with us, though. Robbie, pray with us. We need We need $250,000 is our commitment for the digital software and some of the resources that we know should be in that task force. And so we're trying to meet that demand right now. I'd love to meet it by the end of the year. And so we've got some people who are already behind it, but we're going to need a total of $250,000. And so everybody knows the state is putting in considerable amount, much more money than that, including a building and people. We're adding people, but we're also adding the digital forensic side that is needed to do the work. And so if you care about your state, if you care about your country, because honestly, this is a pilot program that we see could be duplicated in other states, and you're listening and you can get behind us on that, please, please do. So with that said, I'm excited that we got K-John on us with us. He's been all over the world. He's like me. He doesn't sit still either. And so, Robbie, I'm going to throw it back at you so you can connect with him.
Yeah, absolutely. What an honor to have K-John on with us again. And K-John, you've just been back from several countries, but I understand you also have a particularly great thing that's happened with a young lady that you were involved with.
Yes. By the way, thank you very much for the opportunity to share, especially when it comes about letting our supporters and donors know how their precious investment is bearing fruit. So I wanted to start by telling the story of this now 11-year-old girl, Amni. And the story goes, her parents were airlifted. We all remember the horrific scenes that we saw on the videos on news channels when Taliban took over Kabul again, and then there was chaos and people were running for their lives. And in that pursuit, her parents were trying to escape because they were on the hit list, and they were lucky enough to make it through a flight out of Kabul. But when they were airlifted, their daughter, at the time 9 years old, was left behind. Luckily, she was able to reunite with some of her extended family members, but there was no hope. She has to continuously hide for her life because being the daughter of a person wanted by these people, Taliban, I mean, it was very challenging time. Through some church connections and some well-wishers, they were able to find and get connected with us, and our extraction team came up with a plan, moved in, and we were able to extract her last year, more than a year ago, early last year, out of Afghanistan, and brought her to one of our shelters in neighboring countries, where she stayed until all the travel arrangements were made. And so just recently, a few weeks ago, she was finally reunited with her parents in Canada. And one of my friends were at the airport, and he saw them, the parents, and he knew them, and the story that how we extracted Amni and then hosted her in one of our safe houses in a neighboring country. And when he saw them, he just walked to them and talked, and they just spent some time together, and he took a picture and sent to me, and that was a high moment. I mean, I shared with Lantern team that moment, that picture, and I just felt thankful towards first, I mean, it was a moment of thanksgiving to our Lord, and then certainly towards our donors. I mean, this is their precious investment, which gives us ability to make such change in our life or so many lives around the globe. So, I mean, I really want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart on behalf of Lantern, that this is what our precious investment can make a difference in a world where there is chaos, there is hopelessness, there is tragedy, whether man-made or natural disaster, but it's everywhere. But in the midst of that, we can be beacon of hope, not only for Amni, but so many more children and even adults all around the globe who suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you just got back from visiting several of these countries, and can you give listeners an update? I know especially Pakistan's got some issues, right?
Yes. So we are talking about suffering and oppression, particularly due to someone's decision to follow our religion, a specific religion. In this case, we are talking about persecuted Christians, especially countries such as Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iran. So I was able to travel to many of these countries recently. And one of those countries, as you mentioned, is Pakistan. So when this recent tragedy happened in Afghanistan, a lot of Afghans, not only Christians, just Afghans who were persecuted for several reasons, they escaped to Pakistan, and they were trying to find ways to continue live there, apply for UNHCR's refugee program, which is really, its system is very broken in third world countries, and Pakistan is no exception. But what happened is, over the course of the past few months, Pakistani government has decided to force deport them back to their country of origin. And mainly there are people seeking refuge from Afghanistan. But then I met people from Myanmar, from Bangladesh, from many other countries as far as Somalia. And these people just made it to this place seeking refuge and trying to apply with UNHCR's program. But with the recent decisions made by the state government that they have decided to deport all these people, whether documented or undocumented. And when I use term undocumented, I'm referring to people who have no legal entitlement to be in the country. But when I say documented, those I'm referring to are the people who have applied with UNHCR for the refugee program. They have been given permission and documents to remain there in the country indefinitely. But government has decided to just arrest them wherever they find them. And even in fact, when I was there, I saw that law enforcement agencies, when they were raiding the suspicious places, even if they were finding anyone, foreigner, even with the legal documents, they were just arresting them, and they are forced deporting them. And they have already almost deported 280,000 individuals. And many of them, they will be killed eventually if they are found by the people who are trying to persecute them or who are. So it's just very sad. And so where we go from there, this kind of tragedy. I know we know the Israel-Palestine war, Ukraine war, but then this tragedy, the extent of this human tragedy is way bigger than even these wars, because this is the reality which affects the lives of millions. About 46 million people around the globe every year, they are displaced or forced to leave their places, and then they have no hope. So I think the call to action is that first we can pray for these people, then we can write to our legislature, we can try to campaign or raise awareness, and then we can also give, as will be talked about, financial needs that we can and God has blessed us with in abundance, so we can give generously to meet the needs, and by doing so we can make difference in many lives, because if we have resources, we can not only advocate for the rights of these persecuted individuals, but we can also try to provide them with legal presentation, and anyone help them get their legal documents so that they can at least settle somewhere where their lives are safe.
When we come back, we've got so much on this worldwide update in such a crazy world right now, coming into the end of 2023. We'll be right back.
Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation law enforcement and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially.
Well, welcome back. Wow, what an update we have going on today. And Mark, this whole extraction piece, it's got so many aspects to it. Could you give our listeners some understanding?
Yeah, first of all, I'm in my car driving, and you know, I know all about the operation that Kajon just spoke to. But man, even hearing it again just excites me so much, because this girl's life is spared. I mean, guys out there, dads out there, please. Can you imagine your 11-year-old daughter that she got left behind, and she got left behind in a country full of just absolutely the worst type of people ever, right? And here now, because of God's goodness and his working through, you know, people, we're able to provide her safety, bring her to home, bring her to her family. And that is just, man, I got chills. It's an amazing thing. And I want to describe how that works a little bit, what Kajon and that team has done so well at doing. What they've done is they have built a way to rescue, to refuge, and to replenish anybody who is in a persecuted situation. So, and they're fine-tuning it all the time. And really, it takes a lot of resources. The more we have financially, boy, the more we can do. But to rescue, refuge, or replenish, what they've done is they've spent a lot of times, including myself, we spent a lot of times in foreign soil. And we find that those networks of people who are not risk-averse, who understand the persecution at hand, who are willing to love their neighbor as themselves, willing to lay down their life for their neighbor even. And if we have the money, they become a program manager. So they're paid and they're working, and that's their job. When the money's not there or the right person isn't quite in place yet, Kajon builds what he calls a good Samaritan network. And these are people who are briefed on what is being done and how we want to rescue, refuge, or replenish a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. And so they're like, hey, I'm on this. I'm willing to do whatever. And I've seen it work. Listen, we had a young lady in a Asia Pacific country. Her family was going to hurt her because she converted to Christ. Kajon and the Good Samaritan Network, I'm telling you, they had to drive like, I think it was 9 hours, but in like an hour, they were on the road. They were going to that place to set up and to rescue that girl. Similar situation even right now in an African country. A lady is being persecuted, not just because of her faith, but because of her political stance against human trafficking. She's outspoken. The country's kept coming after her. Immediately, the network that's built immediately was able to respond. And not only that, they're able to get her documents. They're getting her cleared for these false charges against her so that we can safely move her to another country. So he builds a program director, builds an incredible Good Samaritan network. And then if we're really active in a country like we are in Pakistan and places in the Middle East, we open what's called a Living Hope Center. And it's a safe house to refuge people, to move them to, like this young girl he just spoke about, so that we can replenish them with food and encouragement, love on them, keep them safe, put them into a community that's watching out for them, eyes on the street, you know, per se. And that's how this is how this works. That's the 50,000 view. But when people are giving toward this and toward Lantern for this, this is what you're building out. And Kajon, right now, how many countries, I want you to say, how many countries that we have either a program director, Living Hope Center, or a Good Samaritan network in?
Well, we have Living Hope Centers in 5 countries. And when I say countries, for the security reasons, I won't name those countries. But these are world's most challenging, hostile, or difficult places, regions. And then we have network, very strong network, where we have ability, and we have program managers or field workers in 13 countries, and all together we have ability to serve and rescue people in 25 plus nations because of the proximity of those nations with the hub countries or host countries. where we have strong network.
And that's, listen, and that comes from our director of ops in every task, in every side of who we are, whether it's rescuing Christians, rescuing the exploited, or rescuing the displaced. They work so hard. They are missionaries. They're boots on the ground. They're eating dirt. That's why K-John can talk about how many he just came off of being, you know, out of the States for such a long time in different countries. It takes that missionary mindset. You know, I know we're different, a different kind of organization, Robbie. I know people look at us sometimes and say, well, you know, are they, you know, who are they? What are they doing? Look, we don't, none of us are getting rich, okay? We're all just getting poor, actually, every day. And none of us are getting healthier. We're just getting beat up every day, all right? We go to hard places. We work in hard positions. We work long hours. We take long flights. And that is what it takes, though, to protect and love the innocent. And we're committed to it. And so a guy like K-John here, who one has an incredible testimony himself of faith, and if you're listening to this and you want somebody to come to your church and you want somebody to share their salvation from the Muslim and even the Hindu faith and their conversion to Christianity and then getting hard at it and serving the world, K-John's your guy. Reach out to us. Reach out to one of these networks and say, I heard this guy. I would love him to come to our church, and he'll come. He is a blessed and faithful person. And so we're so grateful to have him in Lantern, and we're so grateful for what God is using Lantern and K-John and all of us to do to build out this network, because the world is just becoming more violent against Christians every day. And we've got to be able to do this. We've got to be able to rescue the 11-year-old girl. So I appreciate y'all giving me a moment to say that in the middle of this. And I think we throw it back to you, Robbie, or K-John, talk a little bit more about a couple of people or a couple of situations that maybe help people understand just how violent the world is toward, especially toward women Christians.
Oh, absolutely. You go ahead, K-John.
Yeah, so I also wanted to be clear that a lot of times we think that, oh, all these issues and problems exist in whether third world countries or outside our country or North America. Let me tell you, the need is local and global. And when I say local, I'm referring to our own country. Here and we have right now two girls. One is from South Asia, but the other is American, and both of them, they are facing life-threatening situation, and in fact have been given death threats here just because that they choose to whether send their children to Christian school or go to church or actively practice their faith. So we have, even in the past, we have rescued people here in our own country. So it certainly doesn't happen to the same extent as it does in countries such as Iran or Afghanistan. But the need is everywhere. It's just the matter of time that here we see slowly rising, this issue slowly rising, as compared to those countries where it's already peaked and then it's just extreme at extreme levels there. So we have people here who need our prayers, who need shelter, who need safe houses, who need help with assimilation to safeguard their lives. Also, another point I wanted to make is being Christian, it doesn't mean that we shut our doors on anyone else coming from any other walk of life or faith background. We have helped not only Christians. Certainly, maybe if somebody asked me to put like statistics in that aspect, 7 out of every 10 people we help. And by the way, we help probably, if not thousands every month. Some months it is thousands, but every month hundreds of these people. That 7 out of every 10 are Christians, but then there are 3 or so individuals, so 30% of them are from other religious backgrounds. So we don't shut our door on anyone. If somebody is persecuted and knocks at our door, we do show them love, we do provide them rescue and refuge, and then all sorts of assimilation tools, whether it's skill development or learning a language that can help them to resettle their lives, reestablish their lives. So it's a very, Brother Mark said that this is a 50,000 view kind of, but it's extensive. But how we make it happen is through your help and through your prayers and also through your involvement, volunteering your time, precious time, if you are willing to volunteer. So, there are so many ways that anyone can help us.
Yeah, as I was listening to what Mark shared, I couldn't help but think that Jesus made it clear that he would lose his life, would gain it, right? And so yeah. You guys are clearly doing that when you're eating the dirt and getting beat up and taking time away from your own families that I know is precious time. And so I know I speak for the entire audience to say, wow, that's a picture for all of us to think about. This season as we go into the end of 2023. Of where we can give to that extent, both in prayer, like you said, Mark, just hit our knees, because it's a big time for that right now.
Yeah, we've been blessed with such growth this year. We don't want to stop that momentum because of the need, and it's so great. And so we're heading into 2024, and we're praying for, we're praying for those family. We call them family because when you get in with us, it's you have to be passionate about it, and we hope it's a calling for even our donors, and we believe it is. So we need help as we head into 2024. We have the task force here in the States, basically, that we want to see accomplished, and that's, 250,000. We have an opportunity to open a Living Hope Center in the Middle East, where it would have cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right now, we could get it for $100,000, and we can sustain it for about $40,000 a year. And that would, let me tell you, that would rescue and refuge a whole lot of persecuted people. So we're not talking, it's a lot of money, but it's not we're very careful with those dollars. And so you can understand, if somebody wants to come see the task force here in the States and see that 250,000, come on, there's full transparency. You'll see it. You'll walk in and see the whole task force. And, if you want to go to Pakistan or someplace like that, India or Turkey or Malaysia, someplace that with K John, you come on in here and sit down with us. We'll love that. You can go and you can serve and you can lay eyes on all that we're doing. So, we just need God to move in the hearts of people who have the ability to give, and then we can be their hands and feet. Okay.
Absolutely. God bless you. God bless you, K-John. Thank you again. And you're all in our prayers. God bless.
This is the Truth Network.